All right, we got her going. All right, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you and I glorify you for the things that you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for draining this sewer swamp called Washington, D.C. And we praise you for doing that, Father, even all over this country and all over the world, Father. And I ask and I pray right now, Lord, that your protection surround President Trump and the White House and his family from any more kind of assassinations that the SA already has numbered way past what it should have been. It's like 50 something now. But Lord, I thank you that the only reason that man's alive is because of you. And I thank you for that continual protection upon him and his family and the people surrounding him, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I praise you, Father, for waking people up to the things that they're seeing now. They're seeing that the agenda of this radical left group called the Democrat Party is getting out there now, and people are waking up, and we praise you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you that tonight's going to be an awesome night, because we just believe that you are knitting our hearts together with that golden thread. And when you do that, Lord, you're pulling it tight. You're bringing us all together in one accord. And when your people come in one accord, the earth shakes. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And we praise you, Father, that tonight you're going to be with us. Your gifts are going to be in operation. And we just thank you, Lord, for all that's accomplished in your name. We thank you, Lord, for this open heaven that we have, that when we pray, we know that our prayers are already answered. And we thank you for that, Father. And we just come against, we bind up any kind of communication spirits that may try to interrupt anybody's communications tonight in the name of Jesus, and we command them out of here. And we thank you, Father, that everybody's going to have a smooth night tonight. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Woo, glory be to God. My. I feel better all over than I ever did anywhere else. Hey, Megan. All right, anybody got any prayer requests? Let me explain to Ann and her husband, Mr. Cole, what we do here. First thing we do is take prayer requests and we pray, and we know that God's going to answer our prayers because he's done it every time in the past. So we just go ahead and pray and believe. So if you have any prayer requests, we will pray and believe that God's going to answer them. And he does. And that, then we have testimonies and praise reports of the things that he's already done for us. And then we just talk about Jesus or whatever God wants to do. All right. Prayer requests. Y'all meet Aunt. Hi, Mr. Cole. What's your name? You're going to have to unmute. Look down there at the lower left-hand corner. It says mute. No, that's the camera. Wrong one. The other one. The little microphone-looking doohickey.
Yep, there it goes.
Yep, there it is.
Yep. Oops. Yeah, we've got to plug our phone in here. It's getting a little low on power. Turn you upside down
here. Yeah. All right. So what's your name?
It's Greg.
Greg. Yeah. Well, good to meet you and Ann. So glad y'all could join us. Folks, they're from Ohio. Up there in that north somewhere.
Yeah.
From Dayton, I believe you said, wasn't it?
Yeah. Dayton.
Yeah. Yeah. So
well, it's the only Dayton? Place in only place in the country that knows how to make good pizza.
Hey, there you go.
Hey, Phil's in Ohio too.
He's and it's the easiest state to spell. The easiest state to spell.
Yeah, it is. It's easy to say too, Ohio. Amen. So, Phil, where are you? Where are you at today?
I'm in Columbus.
Columbus, okay. All right, I don't know where that is in relation to Dayton, so y'all have to forgive me.
It's at Southwest. Yes, from Southwest. My wife is from Columbus. So she's from Grove City, right outside on the south south part.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Know where that is.
Yeah.
So where are you guys from?
I live
where are you?
Us, me. I'm from Arkansas.
Yeah.
You can't hardly tell it from my accent, but I am. I'm from Arkansas.
Yeah.
But I live in Tennessee.
Okay.
Yeah. And Greg is from Australia, up in the upper left-hand corner. Mike Schoberg is from Sweden. Tim is from Tennessee. Denny's from Tennessee. David's from Tennessee. Was just from Missouri. Julie's from California. She's a California girl. Pat, where are you from, Pat? Somewhere up north.
You mean originally or now? Okay. I'm originally from Oregon, and I'm now from the Philadelphia area, Valley Forge.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Okay. And then Theo, he's from up around Missouri, up in Missouri somewhere. Close to St. Louis, isn't it? No, Kansas City.
It's between the two.
Yeah, ish. Okay. All right. Joe Britt is from South Africa, around Pretoria. And then Judy, iPad Judy and Sue G is from Tennessee. Barry and Marilyn are from up in, is it Washington? It's Washington or Oregon. I get them mixed up. They all look the same to me. Up there in Washington. Missy, she's from PA, Pennsylvania. Not PA, I guess. I don't know, whatever you call that place up there. Pennsylvania. Which part? What's the name of that city?
East of Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, yeah. Okay. And Dave, where are you from, Dave?
Michigan.
Yeah, bless your heart. Andrew, he's the only Canadian we got. Bless his little pea-picking heart. Glory to God. He's from where? Ontario? Ontario. Gano, she's a Tennessee gal now. She came from Nebraska. And then we have the Coles who are up in Ohio. And then Leo and Yelena are in Missouri. They live up there, same place that Theo and them do. And then Barbara, she's up in Pennsylvania also. And then Vanita. Vanita, where are you from? Vanita.
From Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan. Okay. Yeah, we'll pray for her. And Megan, she's from Texas. She's from over in East Texas, I believe. Okay. I believe that's everybody. Now, we are missing some people. We're missing some Tasmania couple. And also, Dark and Paula from, what's the name of that? Cape Town, South Africa. And Will, he's from over around Pretoria, South Africa. So we got quite a little group here. We've all been together here for quite a while. Most of us have, anyway. All right. Prayer requests. Anybody got any?
Well, this is Greg, the new guy.
Hi, Greg.
Yeah, I had a mild heart attack on the 4th of February. And so I had to go to the emergency room, and they put two stents in one vein and another stent in another one. And so currently I'm on different meds, you know, that kind of thing. And so I'm adjusting to those, and but you know, for the most part, I'm feeling pretty good though. So.
All right. We're going to pray for you.
Thank you.
You know what's going to happen when we pray for you, don't you, Greg?
Yes.
Your heart's going to be healed, and they have to take that stent out.
Yeah. Great.
Okay. Well, no, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Can I ask just a brief question? How long have you been in UBM's teaching?
long have been what?
In the teaching from UBM, or have you? Unleavened Bread Ministries.
Oh, well, we started way back when, but we weren't. We kind of stopped doing it for a while.
Okay.
What was that? 2000.
Yeah, we got into a house church, and then we got out again, and now.
Yeah.
No, well, I guess what I was getting at, have you read any of the books? Have you read Sovereign God, or have you read The Real Good News and all of those?
Yeah.
Okay, good. And then,
we read the Sovereign God book.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's pray.
Father, God's vaccine, too.
You did what?
We're reading God's vaccine, too.
Oh, that's a good one, too. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. All right, well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I lift up Greg to you, Lord, and I thank you for the faith that you have put in both Ann and Greg to believe that when we pray, it's going to work, and his heart's going to be completely healed. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Now, in the name of Jesus right now, I command that heart to be restored as new in the name of Jesus. I command that spirit of infirmity that gave him the stroke in the first place to leave his body right now in Jesus' name, and all the symptoms go with it in the name of Jesus. I command that heart to beat regularly like it's supposed to and do everything that it's supposed to do. And I command his body to accept it and he to be completely healed. As a matter of fact, Lord, I just ask that you dissolve whatever is there that the doctors have put in and that he now has a new heart. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that Greg is completely healed of any kind of problems from that stroke in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that if there had been any kind of damage anywhere else, that it's right now healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Greg. And I praise you, Father. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. We know it's done, Lord, and we thank you for it. We praise your holy name, Lord, that Greg is completely healed, and he's going to give you the glory, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for infusing strength into his body, supernatural strength in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just believe it. We believe you, Lord. We always have and we always will. We just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in Greg right now, that he's going to give you the glory and not the doctors. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Woo, glory to God. Anybody else want to pray? Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
Thank you.
Amen. It's done deal. You can get up and go run a mile if you want to in the morning. Go ahead, buddy.
Father, we thank you for Greg. Lord, we just thank you for this that you brought into his life. Lord, we thank you for your victory that you've provided him in this situation. Lord, we thank you for the healing of the new heart that you've placed in him. Thank you, Father, for the grace to stand in your word and to believe and to just that unmerited favor that you apply in our lives. Lord, we just ask you to extend it and increase it in Greg's life. Lord, we ask you to fill him with the Holy Spirit that he can perceive along and agree with your word and stand and rest on the fact that it is done in Jesus' name. For, Lord, you said on the cross, it is finished, meaning nothing else to be done. So we thank you for that. And we just thank you for Greg's healing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead, sir, or Judy.
I'm going to pray for him too. Lord, I thank you, Father, for your healing touch on his body and his heart especially. And I thank you, Father God, that any thoughts that come to his mind from the enemy, I command them to be null and void and cast out. But to command all those demons that would try to stop this healing from coming to pass, that would want to try to hinder it in the name of Jesus, all these plans and plots that the enemy may try to do, they have to go in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for your grace and mercy and your love and your kindness towards this family, that you're going to help this family to gain you and grow in you more, even in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. And that's what happens a lot of times. That enemy come back, and when he comes back, you just rebuke him. Say, nope, well, I've been healed. Jesus healed me. Bless God, I'm healed, and I ain't putting up with this.
That's
Thank
right.
you, Lord.
I wanted to tell Greg something, Michael, that about 12, 14 years ago, I had 4 heart bypass surgeries and a stent put in my neck and stuff. And I don't take any medicine or anything, and the Lord's healed me. So I thank the Lord for that.
Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Anybody else? Okay. What about a testimony, praise report, or a prayer request? I tell you what, I want to pray for Blake. I talked with him today. Blake's my grandson. Lord, I just lift up Blake to you. Lord, we had a good talk today, and I thank you for allowing that, Lord. And he did listen, and that was awesome, Lord. And I ask and I pray, Father, that you place it in his heart a hunger for the word of God like he's never experienced before. And Lord, I thank you for every step of the way being with him and reminding him that he's to keep his eyes on you, Lord. And I thank you for doing that, Father. And I ask, Father, that this be the last time, this be the very last time that Blake's self gets between him and you, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Blake. And I thank you, Lord, that your angels are all about him right now, protecting him from the enemy, because I know they don't like this. But I thank you, Father, that you're going to protect him from the enemy. And he's coming in a mighty way this time, in Jesus' name. And it's going to stick, and he's coming out here, Lord. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's done deal. Y'all believe that? Yes, Lord. Come on, Blake. That's my boy. All right. Anyone else?
I have a testimony. I've been kind of going through a trial, just I guess anxiety striking, because I had some things to do that normally my husband and I would do it together, but he went home to be with the Lord, so now I have to do it, and I'm used to asking him questions and he could always answer them. But anyway, I just wanted to let those of you who did know about this, they prayed for me last night and this morning, and the Lord was just so faithful in helping me today. And he gave me a verse before I ever got started with what I was about to do. I asked for a verse, and this is the verse that he gave me. Psalm 90, verse 17. And let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. I'm so amazed how he is just right on the target in answering and giving us what we need to hear. And just, you know, I know that he's established it. He's going to help me to get it done the way it needs to be done. And I'm still missing some things that I need, but I know he'll help me to find them. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you and praise you for your presence in my house and the joy in my heart. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Yep.
Amen. I got jaw down in my heart. Ow, down in my heart. Wow, down in my heart. All right, Bonita.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to give you an update on Frank. They did that CAT scan on Sunday night, and they found that a piece of cement that they used to hold the bone together broke off, and it was on his nerve, and so that's what was causing all his pain. So he just went back in for surgery. He just got just today. He just got out. and the pain in his leg is gone, and he's feeling 100% better. So
thank you, Jesus.
Lord took care of that and made it an easy fix, so he's all set.
Okay. Thank you, Father, that they found what it was that was bothering Frank. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. He's ready to go to work then, isn't he? Amen. Lord, thank you for meeting Frank where his faith is. We just praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. You're an awesome God, and you're a gracious God. You're a merciful God. Woo! My, my, my. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Anybody else? Go ahead, Vanita, if you want to say something.
No, sorry. My husband just called in between, so it threw me all off. I had to answer. I'm sorry about that.
That's but
thank
okay.
you for your prayers. And
all right. Amen. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Andrew.
I think iPad was first.
iPad, go ahead. I can't tell. I just see your hands up. I just go to the first one. You may begin, Judy or Sue.
Okay. Sorry, we didn't know. Yeah, I would like to thank everyone for praying for my daughter. She wants to thank everybody that prayed for her. And I'd like to also lift her up too, again. She is learning. She's learning that things that she watches and listens to, if there's anything in her that while she's watching something, the Lord has really been able to touch her. She's being sensitive to the Spirit of God, and she's not listening. She'll turn it off if it doesn't sound like the Lord wants her to watch that, and she'll turn it off or even listen to it. So she's gaining a sensitivity to the Lord's voice, his Spirit, and that's good. One thing that I talked with her about was in relation to what we speak. You know, life and death is in the power of the tongue. So I was talking to her a little bit about that, but I'm her mom, so I just pray, Father, that you would reveal to her through the word and through your Spirit and with her eyes and ears open, just to hear, to see and hear, that she would recognize, that you would really bring it upon her heart to recognize what she's saying, that she would not curse herself when things, that she would speak life to about herself, life about her husband, and learn that she needs to watch her, guard her heart, guard her tongue, so that she doesn't speak curses and bring the enemy back in. Because she was asking me, and Lord, thank you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. But she was asking me, she said, I don't know why these demons are still coming back. And I said, well, it's what you watch and what you listen to, what you watch, and it's also what you say. So I that's why I felt drawn to pray that. So Lord, thank you, Father, for delivering her from these lies of the enemy, from the demons. And thank you, Father, that she's fighting the demons off, putting them under her feet. Just help her to continue to gain you and grow in you in Jesus' name. Amen. And also, I'd like to pray for this man. His name's Charlie. I don't know what his last name is or anything, but he works over at Walmart. And every time I see him, I want to say something positive to him. I don't know, the Lord just puts it on my heart to speak to him. And I always, you know, whenever I ask him, how you doing, Charlie? He kind of grumbles. And I said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, you know, and he says, yeah, or something like that, you know. But I don't know, I just feel drawn to talk to him. And I was talking to him a lot today. And I mean, he's not, I don't know if he's a believer. I really don't. I know he reads the word, but the word is not like our Bible. It's a different Bible. And he has some truth, but the major truth is I don't know if he really has asked the Lord to be in his life, in his, you know, heart or anything. Because when the conversation was that, I said, oh, Christ in us, the hope of glory. He says, No, Christ in us. It's not in him in us. It's what we do. I said, so he doesn't, I don't think he understands a lot. So Lord, I just pray somehow that you would reach him, touch his heart. Lord, show him that areas in that Bible, whatever it is that are not right, that he would see that they are not right, that he would follow, be able to hear from you, that he would be able to hear from your spirit and follow the leading of your spirit and check out other Bibles and not the one that he's been used to. Lord, I come against that evil spirit. The evil spirits, the lying, deceiving and seducing spirits and those doctrines of demons, especially those doctrines of demons. I come against them. I break the power of Satan over him. And I pray, Father, that you would just guide him and lead him into your truth and show him the way he's supposed to go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for granting repentance to Charlie and bringing him in. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, I have a nice praise report. I turned on my computer earlier today, and I was going on Google, and it wouldn't come up. The page wouldn't just come up, you know, and I was going, that's very odd. I watched something on it not too long ago, and now it's not coming up. I pressed my restart, and the restart was taken forever. So then I said, there's something interfering with this, because I knew what I was going to look up on YouTube, and it was God's vaccine, the third part. And my computer was just not doing anything. You know, it took 20 minutes for it to stop and turn off. And so I just said, I'm not going to wait that long. So I just pushed my off button and I turned it off and I restarted it. And it took forever to restart. And it wasn't like doing anything. Like it didn't say that it's uploading new material or anything. It just took so long to start. And then I pressed Google again to get on YouTube. And I finally got on YouTube and I found the God's Vaccine on YouTube, and I like to listen to these things. We went over God's Vaccine. I think we made it to page 94, and we never finished it. And so I was just listening to David doing the study there. I had a problem in my ear that was clogged. I was praying about it, and asked the Lord to work out other things in my life too, and I believe he healed me of this whatever is in my ear, because it's not there anymore. And he healed me while I was listening to that. And praise God. And I can see that someone perhaps didn't want me to listen to that. He wanted me to give up on that and just maybe go to something and do something else. But I was waiting to have some sort of testimony for this in the longest time, and I just praise God for it, and I thank him for it, and that it never come back. In Jesus' name, I pray, and I just thank God for it, and I want you to thank God with me, and have it never come back in Jesus' name. So I just got off, you know, I was so happy I had to listen to some of the songs there by people in song, and I listened to all like four of them praising God through all of it, and then it came time to come on. So I was just really excited when I came on today, and praise God. You stand and you stand and you stand, and it just comes. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Just hang in there. It's that Google. That's what it was. I said Google. All right. Go ahead, David and Lena and Adelina. All right.
Well, I think it was yesterday I was listening to a teaching, and I had a prayer on my mind, if you guys could agree with me. Lord Jesus, Lord, I could ask you for a lot, but I don't want to ask about anything worldly, Lord, because you've given it all. You blessed us with a home, with a job. You blessed us with fresh milk and eggs. Lord, I pray for one thing, Lord, for your wisdom and your truth, Lord. Yeah, that's what I really need, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you take away all distractions that distract me from your truth. And give me your love, Lord. So there's not even a space for hate or not liking others. Lord, I pray that you share down your blessings and your truth. Be filled with in my heart and your wisdom in my mind. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for granting that for David. We praise you, Father, that you're going to give him all that he needs and more. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for just infusing him with your wisdom. That's the best wisdom we can have. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We command that spirit of distraction off of him right now in Jesus' name. Out of that house, you go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing him and Alina and Adelina. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It's done, David. It is done, brother. Amen. Whew. My. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and the soon-to-be-born one. Amen. Going to have another edition here shortly. Amen and amen. Y'all have to drag them over here to East Tennessee. That's what I'm telling you now. Take them kids for a ride on that tractor and that trailer. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, I know. I know, Phil. Gonna need a bigger trailer for much too longer. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Is that it? Okay. Now, what was it we was going to talk about tonight? We're going to extend something from last week. What was it? Y'all remember? Come on now. Y'all help me out here. Yeah, Pat.
No, I don't remember, but I wanted.
Go ahead.
I wanted to share something that the Lord gave me this morning, if I could.
Yeah.
This is one of those shower revelations. I get it in the morning.
For general audience?
Yes, it is. It just tells you where I was at.
Okay.
I start my morning every morning with, it seems like for the last six, eight months, with the same general prayer. And that, and this morning, the Lord kind of opened it up and developed it a little bit. And so what I would like to do is really just simply read that prayer. And I wanted to read it three times. The first time I just want to read it to just to give you the overview of the prayer and kind of the flavor of it. The next time I'd like to read it and just read it a little bit slower to kind of flesh out some of the meaning of the, as far as what it meant to me. And then the third time, I want to read it again. And I believe that the Lord is going to give everybody the necessary understanding that they need relative to that and the application of it to his word. And I believe he's going to give everybody that wants it that understanding, the understanding that they need to apply it in their lives. So I just wanted to read this. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into this perfect place in Christ through your unmerited divine influence upon our hearts that you provide as a result of the ability which you have created and nurtured within us to call the things that are not as though they were, and speaking in agreement with your word against all those problems which you raise up in our lives, that we only through this process can overcome by standing on your word. Thank you, Father, for bringing us into this perfect place in Christ. And that perfect place is, the meaning is a complete or a finished, complete place in Christ through your unmerited divine influence upon our hearts. And we think of that word grace as two aspects, one of being unmerited or undeserved or not able to earn that grace, but also God's influence upon our hearts. Because that influence upon our heart is what motivates us to walk in those truths by faith. That influence in our heart that you provide as a result of the ability which you have created and nurtured within us. And that nurturing and within us is the faith of Jesus. And as we fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, he is the one that allows us to overcome in those things, to call the things that are not as though they were. And speaking in agreement with your word against all those problems which you raise up in our lives, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That we only through this process of speaking those things that as though they were, those things that are not as though they were, and being in standing in agreement in his word, are able to overcome those things through faith. And I was thinking, it led me to another scripture, which unfortunately I didn't write down. But it was that, was that scripture in John, when he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Does anybody remember what scripture that is?
John 14.
Thank you.
Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. From John 14:1.
I'm stumbling over that right now, looking to see which one it was. You meant what verse was it, Greg?
Stand by. I'm just flicking my pages here, but what I just said. I started from the top of the chapter. Verse 2: In my Father's house, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. In verse 3, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also.
My Father's house are many places. And when he says, I am going away, I go to prepare a place for you, that I will receive you there to myself. Let me just point was that he left them, and he left them for a reason, so that he could give them the Holy Spirit. And with that Holy Spirit, he also left them in a place and went to prepare a place for them. And what the Lord was showing me is that that place was the place within them, within their hearts. He's going to prepare you a place. And appeared to me, or come to my mind at that time, that it is all connected with this process that I read before. This, the Lord bringing us into this perfect place so we can stand upon his word, upon his truth, according to his Spirit. So that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Can I just add a bit to that? Just to
yes, you can.
I put a little bit in chat there, but and I said it's that all that is all marriage talk, because what happened in a Jewish betrothal, right? So you know, a young man, you know, there's a young woman in the village, and she thinks she's good stuff. You know, he goes with his dad to her dad, and they, you know, and there probably was some background dealings before this, but and puts the idea to his father, her father, the lady's father, the young lady's father, and they draft out a ketubah, the nearest thing we would have it in our society would be a business plan, if you understand what a business plan is, but that even, it's basically, you know, a statement about the marriage and what it stands for. The woman, the potential bride, would not, well, it's not party to this, but she would then come in and read the document, and there'd be a cup or a glass or a vessel of wine there. Now, if she liked the idea, she would just pick up the wine and drink it. If she didn't, she'd just walk away. And everyone, you know, the two fathers and the potential groom would go, Now, let's assume she drinks it, right? What the potential groom, they would then betrothed. She would go and get baptized or you know, do the whole immersion, because she's coming from being a maiden, you know, one of the village maidens, you know, a virgin, to being now, my life is changing, and I'm preparing to be his wife. He would leave, and he would then, his task then would be to go and prepare a place for her, which he would build on either his father's house or, you know, somewhere, but he builds a place for her. He cannot go back to get her until his father says, yes, that's good enough. And then at a time when she didn't know, he would roll up. So she had to be ready. it's gobsmacking when you understand some of it. But anyway, sorry, that's me finished.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Theo, you wanna tell us about Jim and where his pain is and that sort of thing?
So he's having a lot of back pain. He had it's where like they fuse the in his spine, I guess a couple of vertebrae together. And he's been in and out of surgeries for the last, as long as I've known him.
Is he a believer?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's trying to get through Sovereign God. We keep praying for him. He was from the Catholic upbringing his whole life, and he's left that all behind. So I don't know if there's a specific place where his pain is, but his back for sure. But he's got a ton of other problems, health,
okay,
physical wise. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're gonna pray for him. God's gonna heal him. All right, Lord, we lift up Jim to you in Arizona, the one that Phil's talking about. And we thank you, Father, for doing this for Jim. And in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, you gave us authority over all the power of the enemy in Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. And you told us when we pray and we believe what we pray, we're going to get it. And in the name of Jesus right now, I command that spirit of infirmity to go right now off of Jim. You go in the name of Jesus and take all your pain with you. In the name of Jesus. And I command his body to line up with the word of God and be healed right now. I command that spine to be normal. You be healed in the name of Jesus. And I command the pain to leave his body right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that Jim is healed right now by the power and the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that he's going to give you the glory. He's going to know that the teachings he's looking at right now, the Sovereign God book, is real. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that his body is healed and the pain is gone. Because you went to the cross for him and he's healed. By his stripes, you were healed. That's past tense. Jim is healed. Jim, you come up off that bed of affliction right now in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Anybody else? Amen. We're going to get the praise report. Yeah, Julie.
Of course, I'd like to pray also. Oh, Father, yes, praise you. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Jim. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the that he doesn't want to take the meds. He doesn't want to take the pharmakia. He doesn't want to resort to this for lots of reasons, Father. And you know his heart. And I pray, Father, you would reveal anything to him right now, Lord, that would be a root hindering any healing that he's believing you for, Father. And I pray that you would give him the faith to trust you and know that it's done. If he asks you anything, Lord, you'll do it. And that book, the Sovereign God book, is so full of promises, Father, and testimonies. And I just pray, Lord, you would quicken him and that he would be able to read that book and be able to focus despite what he's been feeling right now, that he can put that aside, that you give him the grace to really focus on what's written in that book, and you can speak to him in that book, Lord, and encourage him and fill him up, Lord. If he's not spirit-filled, Father, I pray you baptize him in the Holy Spirit and give him eyes to see, ears to hear, Lord, and sharpen him, Lord, quicken him by your spirit and the move, Lord, working there, Father, in Jesus' name. I pray your blessings all over him, God. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Amen. That's done. I love to pray for new Christians because God heals them almost immediately. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? What is the kingdom of God? What does it mean to enter the kingdom? And what does it mean to receive the kingdom, where we are tonight? And what does it mean to receive it as a little child? Okay. Somebody tell me, what is the kingdom of God, Andrew?
You know, the kingdom comes within you. And it comes near you when a happening of the kingdom happens. It's all in God's order, and He loved us at the cross and the resurrection. He gave us His Son, and now we have the kingdom, and we're part of His life. We're part of the Lord's life, and He controls us, and He leads us into the victory that He's won us, and that's the kingdom. We have to seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord. We have that kingdom within us, and it's a blessing. It's one body, so it's one kingdom, and there's God's spirit in this kingdom. There's God's light in this kingdom. God thought about this kingdom before He made anything, you know, and He's already planned it all. He knew my computer was going to break today before the foundations of the world. Or it wasn't going to start for a while. And I said, Lord, I need it to start. I want to get this down pat. And it's like you go to Hollywood and they have these little pictures on what they're going to do for the next scene or the next cartoon. That's all planned. It's all in His mind. It's all set. It's already done. Before the foundations, you know, He's that light. And the whole universe came out of Him. And everything that's supposed to happen came out of Him. Even the stuff where you read in the New Testament, that's kingdom stuff. We read this kingdom stuff. He knew that stuff was going to happen to this apostle Paul before he was Saul. He knew that Noah was going to happen. He knew everything before it happened. And He's going to make it known to you what's even going to happen. And that's the kingdom. You're in the kingdom, man. And that's who you seek ye first, is this kingdom that's in you. And it's going to go on for eternity. And that for me is the kingdom. And I'm just so jolly and happy. I gave a very good answer, I think. And if I didn't, there's more to it, because you got to go into your concordance and see where every single place the kingdom is written. And that's the definition of a kingdom. It's not in your dictionary, because it's never going to come out the same. The dictionary is a reference book. The kingdom is within you. It won't say that in a dictionary. And the lawyers don't know what a kingdom is unless they're saved. Oh, but God bless the lawyers.
Amen. Okay, yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. But you remember during the life of Christ, when He was on earth here, there were great signs of this kingdom coming and its nearness, but it hadn't come in power yet in the disciples, had it? It hadn't come in power yet. Luke 17:21 said, the kingdom of God is within you. Andrew just got through quoting it. And there was another one also. Listen to this. There be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. That's us. That's the people at Pentecost. That word was fulfilled at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came with power. And then the whole kingdom came to them in the name of Jesus. They went forth and preached the gospel, healed the sick, raised the dead, and all of that good stuff. That they walked in the steps of Jesus. It's the kingdom of God is that spiritual state in which the life of God and of heaven is made accessible to man. And they enter into it on earth now. Back then, all of us should have been doing it all the way up to now. And that's the signs and the wonders that we're seeing nowadays through the Holy Spirit. That's the power of God right there. That's the whole kingdom coming down on earth. Praise God. The only problem is people have to just get into it, don't they? Amen. So that's the kingdom of God. And that, what was that next question? That next question was, what does it mean to enter the kingdom? Well, I thought we just pretty well explained that. When the Holy Spirit came down and entered man, that was fulfilled at that time. The mark of the Holy Spirit is the power of God working through the people, as we see. All right, now we come to the third question, one we hadn't answered yet. What does it mean to receive the kingdom? What does it mean to receive the kingdom? Yeah, Pat.
One thing, when you mentioned what does it mean to enter the kingdom, I guess I was thinking of the connection of believing, because the kingdom of God ultimately is the entire everything that we see without us, that we see out there in the world. It's all under the realm and authority of God, as Sovereign God has clarified. But what is it to enter in? Because you can't, you know, shoot down the street and knock on the door of the church down there and say, look, I want to get in the kingdom of God. It's an awareness of that kingdom and a desire and a believing. You have to believe it, that it even exists first. So there's just that aspect of believing in order to enter into that kingdom.
Well, what does enter mean? What does enter mean? Let's get that clarified first. Enter means what? It means to come into full possession, right? That's what enter means. Okay. Or enjoyment too, right? Okay, now yes. We got that squared away. Go ahead.
Yes, I believe there's a transition of some sort. There's a transition of in the spirit that has to happen there, a transaction or whatever. But there's something where you, in your believing, you may not be aware of it, but you make the transition. You move from one kingdom to the next. And and the only way that you can tell that that has happened is looking back on it and see that it has happened to a certain degree. Anyway, that was the only thing I wanted to say.
Yeah, amen. So we're receiving the kingdom. How do we receive the kingdom? Let's see what Andrew's got here. Okay. Let's see. I'm not sure what y'all are talking about there, but go ahead and explain. when you receive something, what do? You have to physically receive it, right? You have to ask for it and receive it. Go ahead, Andrea. I see you had your hand up or your thing undone.
Well, I got a verse today too. So it's 2 Timothy 4:18. And, you know, the Lord, like I said before, you know, when he made everything, he's going to do this part right here. Before the foundations of the world, this came out of the Lord. You know, he's the Lord of the light. You know, he's going to do this for us. You know, he's going to perform this. This is the word kingdom is in this verse. And it says, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will save me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And the Lord did it at the cross and resurrection, and you just got to believe it. You know, it's done. There's a lot of things that try to interfere, you know. Don't let it interfere, you know. It's done. You know, that thing that Jesus did at the cross was part of his choreographing. All we need to do is believe that. And you know, from when you first heard, you were so excited on that day. And someone didn't like that excitement you had, but it was the joy of the Lord. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, being alive, finally alive. And that's what you want all the time. And glory to God. You know, I don't know, like in the Polish language, because I was told, you know, you're supposed to brag on the Lord, and that's to praise the Lord, you know. And I went to listen to some bragging there from people and saw after it came and happened with me. So I was just listening on, and I was having a good old time with all those young people there. I thought I was young myself. And praise God, you know, it's just welcome it, you know. It's about time that we give thanks to enter into the rest that he's given us. Praise and glory to God. You know, it's not me. I can't. I'm excited. You can maybe tell I'm excited. And I just praise God, you know. Praise. I'm bragging on the Lord. Yeah, I could tell you in Polish, niech będzie pochwalony Jezus Chrystus.
Amen, brother. Go with it. Go with it.
You know, and that's all I have to say, you know. And it's just sad that so many people don't want to brag on the Lord even or give him praise, like, and be thankful, so praisefully thankful that he's given you into his eternity, eternal word, eternal kingdom. Praise God. Anyway, I don't know if I answered the question there. I can't even remember the question anymore. I just want the answer. And amen. Supply that answer.
Amen. Well, it was what it is to receive the kingdom, and actually it goes along with the last one. The last one is, if I can remember, what does it mean to receive it as a little child? So, and it goes along with Mark 10:13. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So that's what we started with last week. So praise God. Go ahead, Judy, or Sue, or both.
I was thinking of I don't think I heard this said, but the one that's in John 3:5, where Nicodemus, I mean, in a section, Nicodemus is saying, what must I do to enter into the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, and I have it open here, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You have to be born again. And then it says about being born again. I don't think anybody mentioned that scripture. I was wondering.
Yeah. Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you have to be born again to be in the kingdom, don't you? And also, you to be fully into the kingdom, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? What you got up there, Julie? Yeah, go ahead.
I posted Luke 12:32. And that in context is talking about not being anxious for anything, not being anxious for your life, starting in verse 22, or what you shall eat, or what you your body, what you shall put on, for life is more than food, and the body than raiment. Consider the ravens, and they sow not, they neither reap, which have no store chamber nor barn, but God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit unto the measure of his life? If then you are not able to do even the least, why are you anxious concerning the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God doth clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, neither be doubtful of mind, for these things do the nations of the world seek after. But your Father knoweth what you have need of. Excuse me, your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. Yet seek ye his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And then it goes on to say, sell what you have, and give alms. Make for yourself purses, which wax not old, a treasure in heaven, in the heavens, that shall fail not, where neither the thief draw near, neither moth does destroy. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when he says that he will give you the kingdom of the heaven, it's his good pleasure. When you talk about all the stuff that is listed before there, it's your daily needs. You know, it's what you need for your body, whether it's food or covering or clothing or how long you're gonna live. You know, it's just God's got it all. He just said, you know, seek his kingdom, you know, seek after it, you know, search for it, be diligent in running after Jesus, running after the Lord, and everything else God's going to give to you. And I just think it's receiving the kingdom benefits is just, you know, whatever you ask, you know, all things whatsoever you ask for, believe you've received it and you shall have it. We're not supposed to store up our stuff here on earth, whether that be money or stocking up for, you know, famine or whatever it is. You know, God's going to provide for us. It's just receiving, you know, seek him and his kingdom, his righteousness, and all this stuff he's going to give to you. That's his promise. It's written. Amen.
God said. God said. Those are awesome. That reminds me of Matthew 6. In Matthew 6, same thing. It says basically the same thing. And what's interesting about these verses, what he's telling us is, look, if I'm going to take care of these birds, I'm going to take care of these flowers, I'm going to take care of this grass, don't you think I can take care of you? That's what he's telling us. And here's the big deal right here. Here is the key to the whole thing. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, run after him with all your heart, and everything else is going to be okay. I guarantee you, all we have to do is keep Jesus focused in our mind, keep him on our hearts all the time, run after him with all your heart, and all this other stuff is just, he'll fall into place. That's why he tells us, don't be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing, he said. Why are we anxious? Because we're getting out of the rest. When you get out of the rest, there you go to looking at the natural. When you look at the natural, what happened? A train wreck. Generally speaking, a train wreck. But when you got your eyes on Jesus, everything is smooth. Boy, I know the things, you know, just like the people out there in the desert, out there in the wilderness. They get a little bit hungry and they go stupid. Say, man, you should have sent us back. Let's go back to Egypt. This ain't no fun out here without my, you know, about my biscuits and gravy and all that good stuff. They were murmuring because God wasn't giving them what they thought he ought to give them. He was supplying their needs. That's all we need is our needs. I'm telling you what, their Wranglers didn't wear out. Their Nikes didn't wear out. Their T-shirts or their good, whatever they was wearing, never wore out. And I'll tell you something else. From that point on, until Solomon came into the picture, they relied on God for healing all those many years. They didn't rely on the doctors. They relied on God. That's where he wants us. He wants us to rely on him. And when we do, when we start doing that, we're going to see miracles. We're all going to see miracles. And we have been. We've seen miracles over the years. Many miracles. Cancers, everything gone. Death gone. That's a good one too. Limbs growing out. But that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to rely on him. Put ourselves on the altar. Put Michael on the altar and forget about Michael and start looking to Jesus. That's what he wants. And he wants a humble heart. And boy, for some of us, and I'm talking about myself, it's hard to do, you know. But God. And that's what we have to do. We have to keep our eyes focused on him. Because God's the only answer for any of our questions. Any of our questions. It makes no, never mind what your question is. Whatever your question is, God's already answered it. Just ask the people around here what the question is. God already answered it through one of us or somebody else. Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
When the Lord showed me a very subtle example in myself a while back, and it has to do with receiving the kingdom as a little child, and it's kind of a stupid little example, but it really drove home to me. I won't say it's stupid. That's not really what I meant. It's a very little thing. But when you're walking up to a convenience store or a store or something like that, and somebody was walking in before you and they hold the door for you, what do you do? Let me just tell you what I usually did. I usually would hurry up a little quicker and grab the door for them in order to walk in. Instead of simply saying thank you and walk through the door. And the Lord hit me with that, you know, like, what do you, that person is standing there holding the door and you're going to hold it with him? What's wrong with you, you know? What is that in you that compels you to do that? because I have to do things my own. I don't want to feel indebted. I don't want to, whatever that is in there. It's not receiving it like a little child. Little child just says thank you and walks in. Doesn't think twice about it. So it is that believing and receiving, not believing and helping, because you're not going, what are you going to do? Climb up there on the throne up there and help God or try to talk him out of something or whatever? There's no way you're going to do that. You simply receiving his kingdom is simply just thanking him, like Andrew was saying. Start with thanking him, believing you have received it, and thanking for it. There's nothing else that we can do, really. But anyway, I just thought I'd throw that example out. It hit me at the time that he gave it to me. So.
Amen. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Denny.
Just what Pat was just sharing. I know when I had that in my life, you know, when I made that surrender and making that connection of believing that you already have received it and you shall have it. And I finally, like, I really surrendered and I did that. And then I thought, God, that's too easy. That's too easy. Just believe that I have received it. That's simple. It's like, that's too easy. And it's like, you want to do something about it. You want, you know, and I just said, okay, I'm just going to believe that I have received it. And I tell you, God just intervened. It's like he comes in the back door and he just takes, you know, his life is in there. And so, but it is easy. Because that's what grace is. It's not our effort. It's all him. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, we lay ourselves on the altar and leave it there. That's been problems with me is going back and getting back off the altar. So, of course, working in me now to stay on the altar, and that's good. To burn that flesh up. It's like Elijah. Burn that flesh. Amen. Anybody else? Now don't be looking at me with them righteous eyes, because I know every one of you come off that altar at one time or another now. Lord of God. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right, anyone else? Yeah, Sue.
I was thinking about, you know, you're all talking about receiving as a child, you know, to receive it is to do it. It's not just say, okay, I received this, but a little child, when you tell him that he's got to do something, or if you teach him something, he will want to please you. He will want to do it. He will want to do what you're saying. So part of that receiving, I would think, has to do with doing it. Whatever it is told.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Act on
obedience.
It.
Obedience, better than sacrifice. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Where'd Dave Nelson go? He sneak out. Was you napping?
No, I was looking for some note cards I had. Looking all over for them.
Okay. All right. All right, anybody else on this? Well, I guess we pretty much rounded it up, huh? Yeah, Missy.
I've been sitting here.
Huh? Go ahead. No, never mind. Go ahead.
I've been sitting here listening and you know, here's something that's been in the back of my mind from early on to share. And, you know, as far as receiving the kingdom, I want to say this first before, you know, it's receiving the kingdom is realizing that it's a gift. It's a gift and there's nothing that you can do. It's like, for by grace have you been saved through faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should boast or glory. So to receive is just to hold out your hand and just receive it. There's just nothing that you have to do for it. It's you know, that unmerited favor, you know, just receive it. And, you know, to receive the kingdom is to receive everything. It's we have an inheritance, right? Our inheritance is the kingdom. It's everything that God did for us through Jesus. Deliverance, healing, salvation in our circumstances, provision,
resurrection power.
Yes. Well, and authority. If you know, you receive the authority, that's, you know, part of the kingdom, the authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and so on and so forth. But anyway, so there's, you know, I had this experience, oh gosh, I don't remember, about a week ago or so. And I've had this trial in my faith for a long time. And sometimes it's, you know, I don't have to deal with this very much. And then there's other times when I have to deal with it a lot. And I'm sure a lot of you know about this, especially certain ones. But I get these tension headaches, I guess you could call them, knots in my back and my shoulders, and it goes from up in my neck and into my head, and I get these horrific headaches at times. And when I get these headaches and I can feel it knotting up, you know, I'll stretch my muscles and everything. You know, I command it to go and confess the promises and stuff like that. And I'm not under the curse and I'm redeemed from the curse and da 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 da. And by Jesus stripes, I'm healed and stuff. And so I'll, you know, stretch out my muscles to, or even rub the knots, you know. And this last time I had this happen to me, you know, as the day, you know, sometimes if I sit for quite a while in a certain position with it stretched out, it'll go away. And lots of times that's what happens. Well, this last time that didn't work. And then come evening and right after dinner, you know, it just wasn't going. And what happened is it jumped from one side of my head over to the other side. And finally, it usually doesn't help for me to go lay down. It's like, you know, I'm determined. It's kind of like I'm determined. I'm not going to let it get me down and keep me from doing whatever, but it still does, because if I'm not feeling good, I can't do much of anything with those things. And in the past, it just hasn't helped for me to lay down. So finally, I had that the Lord, this small voice in the back of my head, and for a couple previous times, I believe the Lord was speaking this to me. You know, Missy, you trying to stretch out your muscles and doing all that, you're not resting from your works. You're still, you know, you're in your works, you know. No, you're not taking medicine, but you're trying to get rid of it on your own. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm like thinking, yeah, but I know that you ultimately are the healer and you're the deliverer from it. I'm just doing something to relieve the pain, you know, and lots of times it will go, but this last time the Lord didn't let me do that. So I finally went and I laid down, and I laid on one side for a while, and then I laid on the other side and laid on the other side, and it didn't really seem like it was alleviating a little bit. And I finally got up and started moving around, and it just went. And it was just like the Lord was saying to me, rest, 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 physically rest, mentally rest, you know, quit trying to fight it yourself and just rest. I mean, if you got to go lay down to, because my thought was, is because lots of times it didn't work to lay down. Lots of times it just, it didn't go, or sometimes it felt worse, but it's just like the Lord's telling me, just, you know, if you got to go lay down, then go and lay down, you know. But it just went away. And that was the first time in a very long time that it just went away from me just laying down and going to sleep for a little bit. And it was, you know, I just thinking, and it's funny, you know, I was talking about this. I've been reading Fear Not the Wilderness. And I just got done reading about being a little child, Matthew 18:2, you know, that's quoted, you know, and I thought it was kind of, you know, how the Lord always brings from different directions the same subject, you know, different people, different situations and all, being a little child, to receive the kingdom as a little child, to be a little child is just to rest. You know, it's and just believe. You know, I've really been thinking about this a lot lately, you know, because of reading it in there and our talking about it. To be a little child is you go to your father, you know, when you think about being a little child, especially a real, real little one, you know, they're the ones that feed you. They're the ones that clothe you. Your father feeds you. Your father clothes you. He's the one that puts the roof over your head. You know, he does everything for you. And if you want to do something, you go to him and ask him if you can do something, you know. And, you know, it's because as an adult, you know, you teach your children to be independent, you know. And it's like, but that's contrary to the ways of the kingdom, you know. And, and you teach your children to make decisions and all. But, you know, if you aren't taught that from a little child, if you're not taught from a little child the real truths of God's word, you know, like, you know, we've read many examples of David, you know, and his children, how he brought his kids up to ask God for everything. They would go to him, well, daddy, I want a pool, you know, or daddy, I want a bag of chips or whatever. And, you know, well, we know, you know how we get things around here. We pray and ask God for them. Oh my gosh. But when you weren't brought up like that, and you come to the Lord as an adult, you've got to regress back to being a little child, and you got to really stop and think, you know, what it was, or even reflect on what it was like being a little child, or even reflect on your own children. But even when your own children are grown now too, I mean, you know, you still got to really go back and reflect on all that, you know? So that's just kind of my what I've been thinking about and you know, asking the Lord to show me what it is to be a little child, you know, to him. And so, yeah. So it's just really been interesting. I've been really reflecting on that. And it is, it's to rest. You know, you were saying to be that, to be on the altar, Michael, well, one thing that I realized a couple months back, you know, a sabbatismos is a continual rest. And we're supposed to be in continual rest from my own works, because Jesus did it all for us. There's nothing for us to do. But then there's also in the Old Testament, the continual burnt offering. Well, we're supposed to be continually on that altar, the flesh being burnt up. And those two, the continual burnt offering and the continual rest, sabbatismos, are the same thing. They're the same thing. And it's just, the Lord brought that to my attention. And that's just like, that's such a revelation. And it's so awesome, you know, because if you don't believe that God did everything for you, and you don't believe God in this area, you don't believe God in that area, you don't believe it, of a certain part of God's word, or have faith in it. And it could be, it's maybe an area of the word you haven't really discovered it to walk in faith or whatever, but it's not something that, if you don't have the faith and believe it, you can't obey it. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing to God. And what is it to be well-pleasing to God? It's obeying him, you know, so, you know, and we want to please, we so much want to please, you know, there's so many children, and even as adults, who want so much the approval of their parents. They do this, that, and the other thing, you know, to get their approval. Because so many have such rejection on them because of how they've been brought up, or how other people have treated them or whatever. And the thing of it is, you know, oh my gosh, if God gave his only son, how much will he not give us all things? How much will he not give us all things? You know, all you got to do is ask. You have not because you ask not. You know? So, the Lord's awesome. Be a little child and just rest. Because he's given us everything. I've given you the kingdom, he says. What is it? Says, oh gosh. It says something about I've given you, I can't remember that verse, but that just he's given us the kingdom. So I guess that's pretty much. There's more there that came out that I hadn't even thought about, but that was, thank you, Lord, for, you know.
That's good, Missy. Real good. While you were talking, I see Adelina up there, and she relies on her dad and her mom to provide her. When she gets hungry, she knows beyond a shadow of a doubt she's going to get something to eat, or she's going to open up that mouth and somebody's going to listen, you know. And that's just exactly the way we should be, because we know that when we get hungry, he's gonna provide. If we need clothes, he's gonna provide. Whatever we need, he's gonna provide, just like Adelina up there. And that's good analogy, Missy. That's good talk about what it is to be in the rest. Just know and trust that God's gonna answer every time. You know, you hear some of these preachers say, well, God always answers. We just don't know whether it's going to be yes or no. It's always going to be yeah. If it's something you need. I can't, you know, that book, what's the name of that latest book, Julie or Missy, either one of y'all? Faith for All Things, is that right? Yeah, Faith for All Things. That thing's got a lot of, and that's not all of them. That's just some of them that we've experienced here, some of the testimonies that we've experienced here. I had no idea that God would do the things that he's done since I've been here. Oh my goodness. He'd do it. It's like Missy was talking about. He'd do anything that we need. Anything. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, I'm in the book of Matthew, and Matthew 18 has the little children there. And then you read through to 19, and the 13th verse, the little children are mentioned again. And I was kind of thinking maybe the stuff in between those two little children verses, the whole of chapter 18 to 19 and 13, maybe has some good references there for little children. But I particularly like what it says in 19 and 13, because he's got to lay his hands on you. And twice it says there, he's going to lay his hands on you, and he's going to pray for them. But their disciples rebuked them. So, you know, don't. They're doing the same today, some of these disciples. Don't rebuke this from happening, you know. And Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of the heavens. And then he laid hands on them again. I wonder if we're supposed to be constantly like in that altar, just, you know, letting him do it. Let him lay hands on you, and just let him minister to you. I was trying to see if it was collating somehow from 18 is where the children is mentioned in Matthew, and then I was reading it, and then I came to the 19th and 13th verse, and I suddenly remembered that right now when Missy brought it up, that's where she was reading in that book she was reading, and I went, yeah, that's in Matthew 18, and I go, yeah, but it went through to 19, 13 there, where he starts talking about the little children again. And I was trying to figure out if all those verses in between kind of meant something about the children coming unto him. And there's some pretty good references of other things in between there, you know, and you can see some really cool types and shadows of Waller mentions the woman there at the top, you know, the male and the female, and they become one flesh. And of course, if you want to bear fruit as a male and female, you need the male seed. And I think that reference has been made, you know, it's kind of like the same reference in Matthew 13, where the seed goes into the person and fruit is born from the Lord. And it's just, I don't know how you can collate that with a little child, but you do get older. I don't know. And you get more seed and more seed, you know. And I was just kind of wondering about that. Even a child would get some seed from the Lord and in the parable. And of course, you just want more from the Lord. And you know, the seeds is word. And they keep telling me to read this word. Even the apostle told me to read the word in Timothy. So you better read it. And you get a lot more out of it than just reading it like ink. You know, it's every once in a while something moves there and happens, you know, and then you wonder why. Why is it happening now? And it didn't happen way back then. I don't even go there. I think, you know, just stay with them. That's all. And stay with them, you know. You know, I sometimes think, you know, like I'm just one of those sheep that likes to wander off. And then he's, oh, here he goes again. Get back in corral here, you know. And, well, you know, there's something over there. I got to, you don't got no business going there. You be with everybody here, you know. I had a little kids once. I remember chasing them. Where are you going? Get back here. You're not going in the shed over there. I got my tools in here. I don't want you sharpening your fingers. Get over here. Oh, yeah. So there's lots you can learn from little kids, I'll tell you. Anyway, you're going to have to let your little child go into his hands. Because that's where he should be, and there's no other place for him. Oh, yeah. It would be so great just to know so much more about what he has in mind for us and just what's going to happen. You know, how is it going to all happen? You know, but, you know, you don't have to worry about that. He just tells you key points and then he brings it all to you. Praise God. You know, it's just a wonderful family we have. And we all have to think alike, but, you know, we're all different too. Praise God and thanks for big brothers and thanks for little brothers. And thanks for little kids, too, because you can know a lot of stuff, man.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Missy.
The verse I was part of it was coming to me earlier was, and I don't know if anybody mentioned this earlier, because sometimes I get in my own mind, I hear some of what y'all say and some I don't, but anyway, because my wheels are turning, but it's Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And little flock just also makes me think of, you know, the thought of little children, you know, but, you know, it's similar to the, what it says in Matthew 6, I believe it is, you know, if consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God does so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O you of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, but your Father knoweth that ye have need of these. You know, the way the world gets them as they go and buy, you know, go and buy them or whatever. they use money, and yeah, we have to use money, but to a degree. But you know, I'm just like asking the Lord, you know, Lord, show me what you want me to, you know, ask you for. Bring it to me right away, you know, rather than buy something or whatever. I mean, there's some things that I'm believing the Lord for, like things to be fixed that aren't working right, you know. Believe the Lord's fixed them for me. But anyway, and then it says, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, but your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. Your Father knows that ye have need of these things. Seek ye his kingdom, and these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's. Give you the kingdom. Sell out what you have and give alms. Make your purse yourselves purses which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief draweth near, neither moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Anyway. So yeah. I think sometimes we don't look at God as our Father like we should. I know I don't. And I'm like, Lord, help me with that, you know. Help me to see you as my Father. So I think to be as a little child, you have to have this realization that he is, you know, your Father. Better father than any earthly father could ever be. So, because gosh, he knew you before the foundation of the world. He knit you together in your mother's womb. All your days were written in his book. You know, he knows you're sitting down and you're rising up. He goes before you and he goes behind you, you know, and he knows you better than you know yourself. Or anybody else knows you, for that matter. So, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
You know, she was just saying it, and she said that verse twice about how much more will your heavenly Father clothe you? And you know what verse has to pop into your head right there. Who are you clothed with? And if he's going to supply that type of clothing, surely he can supply the other type. Wow. And it just hit me there right then and then. Like, I never associated that verse with being clothed with Christ, you know. And wow, put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, okay. We're getting on up there. A couple of minutes left. What would y'all like to talk about Thursday night? Has anybody got a subject for Thursday night? I've got one, but I want to see if somebody else has got one. Y'all get in line now.
Yeah, Michael?
Yes, go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, the verse about Lord God with all your mind, body, heart. I don't have it open here, but I mean, I've read it 1,000 times. You know, and heard it.
Okay.
If we could just go over that.
What is it, Denny?
I was reading something while he was speaking. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Oh, Greg's got it. You got it, Greg? What verse is that?
No, I've just got my hand up.
I got you.
I'll wait my turn.
Okay. Yeah, Judy.
Theo, did you say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, all your strength? Is that the verse you're talking about?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, okay. What is it?
It's like Mark. I think it's Mark 12.
Let me look real quick.
It's the greatest commandment.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Mark 12, 30.
Mark 12, 30. Okay, that's for Thursday night. I'll take a look at it, everybody. What's your question about it?
Also in Luke, it's also in Luke 10, 27 and 28, I think.
I just want to go over exactly what that means, you know. I mean, okay. I have the general understanding, and I've read it a lot, and I've heard it a lot, but there's so many things that we do in life that don't line up.
Okay. Write it down. Everybody got that? Okay. Thursday night. Barry, I wish you quit yawning. You're making me yawn. Just saying. Go ahead, Greg.
Well, I just... And if you put on the list of things to, what's the word, elucidate, make clear. I would just like to just an outline of how UBM operates and what it does and the eldership, etc. Because you know, love being here, but I'm always seeing it from afar, and I'm not sure what goes on the ground and how it's structured. That's all. Nothing terribly complicated. You'd be muted.
Well, I'm only going to give it out one time. You just missed it.
Oh, I read your lips. And so on. And it wasn't the sort of things you'd say in church, Michael. Yeah.
That is a big question. That's a complex question. We'll take a look at it. All right. Lord, we thank you for another great night tonight. And I'm going to ask y'all to do something for Thursday night, if you can, if you have time to do it. I want to ask that you pray for 30 minutes before you come on. Just pray. Pray in the Spirit. Let's see what happens. Lord, I just thank you for an awesome night tonight with everybody. You know how much I enjoy these, and I pray that everybody else enjoys them as much as I do. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that everybody here is going to get a good night's sleep tonight. They're going to wake up in the morning. They're going to look up in your eyes, Father, and say, Father, I don't need anything. I just want to thank you for being my dad in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, all right. Yeah, so...
Can I sing a real short song?
Yeah, you got a short one. You can go ahead on.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia. Goes with what we were going over.
Okay, that's good. Thank you so much. Go ahead, Greg.
I'm not going to sing a song, but thank you anyway. Well, I will do, but I'll mute. You know, I'll go into that longer phrase cubicle I mentioned earlier. No, quickly, Michael, that 30 minutes, is it in one hit, or can it be cumulative between now and Thursday?
Greg, give me a break. Why don't you do this? That day, sometime during that day, pray for the fellowship for 30 minutes. Let's just see what happens. immediately prior to Zoom.
So the 30 minutes immediately prior, Julie, watching the clocks.
Yeah, we're 2 minutes over. All right. Good night, y'all. Love you.